they were there, and that we know. We have come to the conclusion that when the rest of us are sleeping, it is the men and women in the United States military who stay up on that wall watching over us, and sometimes from very far away. Well, there's so much to say. Thank God I don't have to add any names today to our list of the brave men and women who may have given their all, right up into and including their lives for this country today. But what I do have to tell you is there is an egregious, just a horrific, disgusting, despicable event happening to a veteran. The Department of Justice has spitefully instructed the Department of Veterans Affairs to suspend all benefits that are have been going to a January 6th detainee by the name of Kenneth Harrelson, who has had his bank account frozen. He's been imprisoned for over a year in this gulag in D.C. Representative Louis Gohmert, my good friend out of Texas, said this is what you get when vindictive leftists get in charge of major parts of the government. And what you're seeing is an immoral, mean-spirited people, a leftist people, take over the government, and they use every aspect of the government in order to try and inflict their hatred on people with whom they disagree. Even after most of the Democrats in the House obstructed an official session of Congress back in June of 2016, nobody was saying that those people have to be put in jail. We just wanted to go back into session as the majority. But when they have power, when there's an obstruction of an official session of Congress, which is the worst charge, really, that the January 6ers should ever have been charged with, we see that the left wants to bury them, take away any benefit, destroy their lives. And not only their lives, they want to destroy their homes, destroy their children's lives. This is an evil, toxic atmosphere when these types of people are in control of so much of the federal government. Bravo, Louis Gohmert, for bringing it to everybody's attention. This is what Democrats do to their enemies. This is what you get. You know, an unsigned letter from the VA that was dated June 13th informed Harrelson and his wife, Angel, that the administration received information from the U.S. Department of Justice that he had been indicted and charged with seditious conspiracy. Pursuant to 38 U.S.C. 2384, I think was the charge, after receiving notice of an indictment for the above offense, the VA must suspend payment of gratuitous benefits pending disposition of the criminal proceedings. If convicted, gratuitous benefits are forfeited automatically from and after the date of the offense. The VA went on to state that they will suspend compensation benefit payments effective 1st, 2022, which is the first day of the month following a 60-day due process period. If you are subsequently acquitted of this charge, payments can be resumed from the date of suspension if otherwise in order. If you are convicted, benefits will be retroactively terminated effective January 5th, 2021, the date preceding the offense, or from the date your award commenced, whichever is later. This is really so far above the pale that I'm infuriated by it, and you should be as well. This is the modern version of the Stasi, okay? They should take the word justice right out of their title. Kenneth Harrelson fulfilled his commitment of service. Shame on the Department of Veterans Affairs. Another one of these lame administrative agencies. No offense, but you know, for years they couldn't even get their acts slightly together, and they still don't have them together. But the idea that, you know, somebody knew what they were doing. They sent that letter without a signature. They didn't even put their name on it. That's the kind of hiding behind a federal position you get when you have evil, abusive, vindictive people in federal employment. They know what they were doing when they sent that without a signature and without their name on it. Just anonymously charging people. You know, it's my prayer, my hope, as this country celebrates its anniversary, that we clean up the government, get rid of the people who are abusing their positions, and they do it so vindictively, like the person who sent that letter. They don't even follow the law. They're abusing the law. They abuse their positions. They hide behind anonymity. These are the kinds of people who need to be gone from federal employment. According to the original criminal complaint, Harrelson was charged with conspiracy, obstruction of an official proceeding, and aiding and abetting destruction of government property, and aiding and abetting entering and remaining in a restricted building or grounds, tampering with documents or proceedings. This is the one that was arrested in Titusville, Florida, back in March of 2021. The people running the Department of Justice, we need to clean that mess up. Merrick Garland has got to go. If the Republicans take back the House and the Senate in November, and it's looking really good, I'm going to share an article with you that I just found. But I thought that the January 6th committee was not a court. So who charged him with seditious conspiracy? That's what I would like to know. This was done by the January 6th committee, I assume. It's disgusting. His wife lost her job over all this, and now they're going to lose their VA benefits. Can you imagine the persecution these people feel after he served his country? And there's a bunch of other veterans who are in prison from January 6th, but no one else got that letter. Not even the others on the Oath Keepers case. Ken is the only one. And that's why his wife went public with this. They're being targeted because she won't shut up. They're being targeted because she goes out there in public and won't shut up about any of this. So what's the one way to get everybody to get anybody to shut up? Take everything away from them. So you know what her response was? I'm going to get louder. Good for her. Good for her. And Give, Send, Go is the website where you can support the family. It's the number one free Christian fundraising site, givesendgo.com. It's Harrelson Kenneth's family legal bill, I think it's listed under. G22ZH, givesendgo.com/G22ZH. She's got 60 days to make a plan before the loss of her benefits kicks in. She's going to have to put her house up for sale, she said. We don't want it to go into foreclosure because that'll ruin our credit and we'll be able to do something later. I'm going to have to pay for another storage unit because the one I have is... This is what they're doing to people who serve this country, who people just showed up because they didn't like the, you know, the way they weren't getting answers about the election. They can't move in with their family. They got three kids. They're not going to burden their friends. This is a very big story. This is disgusting. It's completely messed up. Kenny Harrelson is entitled to his benefits. He's only been accused of a crime, and the idea is he's going to be stripped of his military medical benefits is without question a violation of his due process rights. It's crazy. It's a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace. He's supposed to be presumed innocent until proven guilty, and his family is certainly innocent. What is wrong with these people? Why are they so vindictive and evil? I can't wait till they get their comeuppance. I really can't. A woman with three kids, her husband's medically disabled, so she relies on the VA. Her husband's in jail, and the government refuses to let him have a bond. He can't prepare for his trial. He can't meet with his own attorney, and she's got to run the whole show. Keep screaming. That's all I can say. And if you want to help the family, again, the website where you can make donations is Give, Send, Go, which is a Christian fundraising site. So, of course, I'm sure they wouldn't allow this on any of those left-wing lunatic ones where they take you down if they don't agree with you. So, yeah, I'm furious. On a day where I honor the military, to have a story like that come across my desk is just enough to make me want to scream. And the only reason that I'm not completely losing my mind today is because of this really good news that I'm going to share with you after the break. Don't forget to download the app, the 850 WFTL app. That way you can listen on the go. You can listen when you're away. It's a 4th of July weekend. You might want to listen to some podcasts as you hang out on beaches or in backyards or whatever it is you're doing. Please remember, this is about our nation's independence. It's a great day for a barbecue. We're going to set off fireworks at church. It's a great day. I get it. But it's also a meaningful day because the country got its legitimacy on July 4th, 1776, in spite of what the 1619 Project wants you to believe. Let me take a quick break. I'll be right back. Okay, so the only reason that I haven't completely pulled every hair out of my head today after finding out about this story was because I did see something that was really... It just made me feel better. You know, I know so it'll upset some of the people, but it's probably not going to upset you. Everybody knows who Nate Silver is, right? You know, he's one of the... He runs the 538 blog, which is one of the most widely viewed and quoted predictive models for upcoming elections. And in just over 4 months now, we're going to get a chance to... Well, to give the verdict on what the American people think of President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, and also our feelings about this Democrat, or actually, let's just call him the Demo-rat party. And, you know, people have been saying it's going to be an electoral, you know, earthquake, and this is going to change the dynamics and blah, 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 because Americans are not concerned about the January 6th hearings. In case you haven't noticed yet, there are some. The same people who listen to watch MSNBC are watching those hearings and taking anything that happens on them seriously. But anybody who's even moderately serious looked at all of the commentary following the Cassidy Hutchinson big deal, you know, bombshells, and said you could drive a tractor trailer through that testimony, and there was no ability to cross-examine the witness. And so far, every single person that she mentioned has stepped up and said, no, that's not what happened. And no, I wasn't there, or no, she wasn't there, or whatever. So, you know, that'll die an ignominious death, you know. Kind of like the Hunter Biden story, which dies ignominious deaths time after time after time, no matter how many times we hear worse news or find out about emails or phone messages that the vice president, now the president, and his son had. But while we're all less concerned about that, what we are concerned with are record gas prices. We're concerned with inflation. And we don't really want to hear that it's Vladimir Putin's fault. And we are extremely upset with the government. So now Nate Silver has released his first forecast for the midterm elections, especially for the upcoming House elections, for the House of Representatives. And if I was a Democrat right now, I would dig a hole in which to hide. The Speaker Nancy Pelosi will soon be chased from leadership, with Republicans on track to establish a solid majority in the House, putting the odds at 87% that they will be victorious in November. I like those odds. Americans are, you know, may finally be on the verge of getting some relief from this spiteful witch and her vindictive committees and all these vicious attack dogs, AOC and Ayanna Presley and Rashida Tlaib and the squad. And maybe we'll actually get adults back in charge of the lower chamber of Congress. I don't know about the Senate, and Nate Silver didn't have as favorable a view of that as possible. He said the Democrats appear to have stronger candidates in a handful of the key races, including Pennsylvania, where apparently he thinks John Fetterman has a better chance of winning than Dr. Oz. I think he's wrong, just saying, you know, but we'll see. He says the Republicans don't have any surefire pickups. The model regards their best chances as being in Georgia, but that race is rated a toss-up. Can anybody believe that that's a toss-up? I mean, the Georgia Senate race, are they really going to put Ralph Warnock back in there instead of Herschel Walker? I just find that hard to believe. I really do. And the thought that Stacey Abrams might be the governor is really just... makes me sad. There's an 83% chance that Republicans end up with a majority of governorships, including Texas, Florida, where the incumbents are going to crush. You know, Nikki Fried and Charlie Crist have no chance down here. We know that. Beto O'Rourke has no chance in Texas. So you're going to see a predominantly red governor's mansions. Its incumbency is a very powerful force in gubernatorial races, by the way. Even the authoritarian lockdown queen, Gretchen Whitmer, she's probably going to win in Michigan again. Being an incumbent is very powerful. Brian Kemp, he's got an 86% favorite to hold against Stacey Abrams, who most people find patently offensive. She's just, she's on the forefront of every fight that nobody cares about. And she's waffles and changes and writes dirty novels. She's just not the one. If they wanted to take on Brian Kemp, and trust me, you know, I'm not a big fan of Brian Kemp's, but apparently the state of Georgia has been quite satisfied with him. And Stacey Abrams, she's just a, you know, she's just a attention-seeking missile, if there's such a thing. Governor DeSantis, look, everybody's talking about Governor DeSantis for president. I get it. You know, I get it, and I'm not fighting with all of you anymore. Whatever you think, you know, feel free to think it, but try to remember that there's nobody on deck to be the governor of Florida. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm much more concerned with the state of Florida right now than I am about Washington, D.C., because thanks to the good governor that we have, my state has suffered far less than other states in this union. So I don't want to pin my money on D.C. I want to pin my money on the state, the legislature, the governor's house, smaller community things. I'd like to see a little, upsurge in Republicans in Broward County. That would be really nice. I don't know that that's going to happen, but for goodness sake, one can continue praying, right? The House is going to turn over. There's no two ways about it. I'm not thrilled with Kevin McCarthy. You know, I think there are better people in the House right now who could lead the House and get some things done. I don't want to play nice. You know, we can't play nice anymore. I'm not a Republican, but I'm going to be on the side of the Republicans if they take control. And I'm telling them, it's enough of this. Like, well, we don't want to act like them. We have to act like them. We have to act like, you know, like the country's very existence depends on us making sure. Let me tell you something. The best, one day, and I know this may be hard for some of you to understand because you get so caught up in his personality and in the tweets and in the, you know, oh, he's angry and he threw his lunch at the, you know, you play into all of that nonsense, which means nothing to me. Let me tell you something. Donald Trump will go down in history, if you're a conservative, as one of the most important presidents ever. The Supreme Court nominees that he put in place literally had the courage to do things that never have, you know, nobody thought could get done. But it took somebody who was willing to say, I'm going to fight for them, the nominees, and not back away from them. I'm going to pick nominees that have the credentials and that have the right morals and principles. You know, there's nothing he could do about Roberts. He's there. He had a good catch in Alito, and the best in Clarence Thomas, who, by the way, now the stupid people on the left, you know, they just can never leave this man alone. You know, I think they must really just all be racist. That's the only thing I can think of. I'm just using their own, you know, tricks on them. Now they're saying that Clarence Thomas says that vaccines were made with aborted babies. That's not what he said. What he said is absolutely true. They use fetal cell lines from aborted fetuses, not recently aborted fetuses, and that's not what he said. But they can't help themselves. And they didn't even say fetuses. They said that his dissenting opinion said that COVID vaccines are made with aborted fetuses. That's not what he said. It's not. He was talking about people who object on religious grounds to all available COVID-19 vaccines because they were developed. Now, listen carefully, those of you on the left who are either too stupid to understand the English language or don't know how to read an opinion, but let me make it as clear as I can to you, all right? He said, they object on religious grounds to all available COVID-19 vaccines because they were developed using cell lines derived from aborted children. That's what he said. That, my friends, is true. But they all ran with a clickbait headline saying, oh, he said the vaccines came from aborted fetuses. No, he didn't. He directly citing the argument of one of the parties in the suit. The fact that no one in the media seems able to do the basic reporting on Supreme Court decisions is a real problem, and it's exhausting. It's just exhausting to have to try and set them straight. I mean, they did this on Politico, on NBC, Slate. They'll run with any story that they think paints a conservative in an ugly light. And you want to make a point of claiming that Clarence Thomas isn't smart? Good luck. Good luck. Anybody who's read his opinions knows that's not true. Probably the only opinions I ever found more readable and understandable were those of Justice Scalia and maybe Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Whether or not you agree with them, you know what a great piece of writing is. Clarence Thomas is a brilliant man, and he's a conservative, and so he can be cut no slack, and he can not be even treated fairly. I loathe them. I really do. I can't wait until November. I just can't wait. All right, let me take a quick break. And we come back. I don't have Derek today. He is on vacation. So I may or may not cover some celebrity news. There's a bit of celebrity news that's kind of interesting. But I also have to talk about how, you can beat back the cancel culture. It's happening, and it's beginning to happen more and more. And we're going to talk about that in the next segment of the show. So stay right where you are. I will be right back. All right. So, nothing new in the fact that they don't tell you the truth. There's absolutely nothing new in that. But it just really, it's enough already. I think the public is just fed up, and they're fighting back, and they're fighting back on so many different levels across the world. Sometimes, I believe that we are the leaders, but that doesn't mean that the rest of the world isn't following us. They are indeed. One of the arguments that I had over the last week was somebody saying to me that they don't understand why I would have an objection to a red flag law in the new gun bill that they passed. And I said, because it just puts people in a very vulnerable position. And it violates, all I've heard in the last week is, oh, their privacy rights. Everything is about the privacy rights. Well, meanwhile, California just doxed all of its gun owners. They put a firearms dashboard up. And if you have a concealed carry permit, a weapons permit, all of your personal information was exposed. I'm not kidding. An exposure of individuals' personal information connected to the DOJ firearms dashboard, the California Department of Justice said. Any unauthorized release of personal information is unacceptable. Unless, of course, the government does it, right? Then it's not unacceptable. It's a mistake. I just didn't mean it. And they're working swiftly to address this situation. Well, let me tell you what this situation includes. This includes judges and law enforcement personnel. It gives out their addresses and the fact that they have a weapon. It tells everybody where weapons are. So if you're a criminal and you're looking to, find a weapon, well, you now have a roadmap of homes where there are weapons. I don't understand for the life of me, and trust me, I have two beautiful families in California, my son and his family, my daughter and her family, but I do not understand what would lead someone to continue living in California when every week there's something else that makes the state virtually unbearable, unlivable. whether it's the you know, addicts lining the streets, the homeless addicts shooting up on the sidewalks, people defecating on the sidewalks, you know, a lack of services available. And who wants to live there? And then it's like the most expensive place on earth. But this is why I don't believe in a red flag law. Because now, if you get mad at your neighbor in California and they happen to be on this list, they own concealed weapons, just call the authorities and say, you know, my neighbor's really been acting very bizarrely. I saw him out there in the middle of the night marching up and down, you know, doing Hitler salutes, and I'm afraid that he might have a gun. And they can go in and take that gun away from him. That's what red flag laws are about. So now that there's a listing of everybody who has a concealed weapons permit in the state of California, then guess what? Anybody who's upset, just call the authorities, turn them in. They'll take their gun away. You make them miserable. People don't realize how hard it is to regain custody of your gun if it's taken away by the authorities, even in states that have liberal gun policies. Yeah. These are more and more efforts on the part of this lunatic party that used to be the party of my father. There's no way he could reconcile what the Democrat Party has become with the party that he knew and loved. Just no way. I did want to say that on this day, I try to find interesting stories that are not so, you know, don't make me so crazy. And it's hard. But I did see one interesting story that I wanted to share with you. Apparently, they've just discovered the world's deepest shipwreck. 78 years after this Navy destroyer sank during the biggest naval battle during World War II. It's the USS Samuel B. Roberts, nicknamed the Sammy B. And they found it 22,916 feet below the surface of the Philippine Sea near Samar, which is the third largest island of the Philippines. My father served in that area. The wreck had snapped in half, and the two pieces lay just 33 feet apart. The ship sank during the final phase of the Battle of Leyte Gulf in October of 1944, in which the U.S. Navy defeated a much larger Japanese Navy. But the Japanese Navy suffered its biggest loss of ships, and they couldn't get the U.S. forces off the island, which was part of the Pacific War. So imagine, they find this incredibly famous ship, and now they get a shot to retell the story of what happened. And there are plenty of people who don't know the ship, don't know the story, and certainly didn't know about the crew's sacrifice. So I'm going to share that with you on this Friday instead of, you know, only talking about how the VA is going to withhold benefits from service members. How about this historical description? They didn't really even know where to look for this wreck. It was just not a lot of information. To locate it, they searched all kinds of historical documents, they narrowed down the search area, and then they deployed the deepest side-scan sonar device ever used, which was mounted on a submarine capable of taking it up to 36,000 feet below the ocean surface. There were two destroyers that were lost, two escort carriers, a light carrier and a destroyer escort, 255 aircraft, and more than 1,000 men. And the Japanese lost even more of everything, including, I think they lost like 12,500 men. And by the way, the losses forced the Vice Admiral of Japan, Kurita Takao, to lead a retreat from the battle aboard the battleship Yamato. The U.S. occupation of the Philippines cut Japan off from its oil supplies, etc. The Sammy B. performed a notable role in the fighting. The destroyer escort launched three torpedoes at the Japanese heavy cruiser, the Chokai, landing a hit with one that blew off the enemy's ship's stern. Sammy B exchanged fire with other Japanese ships for more than an hour, completely depleting its ammunition and setting the bridge of another heavy cruiser, the Chikuma, ablaze. Then three 14-inch shells from the battleship Kongo ripped a 40-foot hole in Sammy B's stern, sending the seawater, of course, flooding into its engine room. Of the crew who were given the order to abandon ship, 120 survived and 89 perished. Among the survivors was the captain, Robert W. Copeland, according to the explorers. The previous title holder for the world's deepest shipwreck was the USS Johnston, which fought in the same battle and was found in 2019 at a depth of 20,400 feet. So think about it. This ship was found at a depth of 22,916 feet. I mean, it's like being on another planet, only underwater. Really impressive that they were able to find this shipwreck and that we're able to talk about it as we go into this weekend, which is the anniversary of the founding of this country. I know that, what's her name? The one that wrote the 1619, Hannah Jones. She doesn't want you to believe that, but it is our anniversary, and that's okay. Bad news for those of us who were really excited about, you know, the new limitations that are being placed on the killing of babies, but a Florida judge, let's just try and think of who might have appointed this judge, has moved to the states, and the Leon County Circuit Judge John Cooper sided with Planned Parenthood and the ACLU and other parties, including abortion providers, ruling that the abortion law violates the state's constitutional right to privacy, and issued a temporary injunction that was cheered by the anti-life activists, right? House Bill 5, which was signed into law by Governor DeSantis last year, he says, Judge Cooper says, it is unconstitutional. Keep fighting. You guys just, he says, I'm not here to litigate abortion. I'm here to litigate the right to privacy in Florida. But it's abortion that we're talking about. We're not talking about privacy. How does a privacy apply to whether one person has the right to kill an innocent unborn child? I love the way they dance around the real subject, and they think they're fooling anybody. They're not. By properly interpreting the Constitution, actually, the Supreme Court answered the prayers of millions upon millions of Americans. And that's why, for nearly 50 years, the U.S. Supreme Court prohibited any meaningful pro-life protection. But that wasn't grounded in history. It wasn't grounded in the structure of the Constitution. And so Dobbs has restored the people's role in a sense of that every life counts. So Florida will probably continue to defend this. And Nate Silver predicts 94% that Ron DeSantis will win a second term. And so would everybody out there who keeps, you know, all of the people who either don't live in Florida and don't care what happens to us, or the people who are just trying to get enough attention, please stop with the draft, Ron, run, all of these stupid solicitations that I get day and night, you know. The only interesting story I actually saw on the subject was when Donald Trump was asked if he had any intention of running with Ron DeSantis. He said, we have a good relationship, and left it at that. And then he did, of course, say, but I'm quite sure I could beat him if we go up against each other in a primary. Anyway, don't forget, coming up at 1 o'clock, Dan Bongino, and at 4 o'clock, Ben Shapiro. Then we will, you know, have to wait until Monday to begin the madness over again. And actually, Monday is the 4th of July, so there'll be a lot of special programming, including something you won't want to miss at 12 o'clock, because I'm going to talk about a number of things that are relevant to that date. And one of them is, you know, why I believe that everyone needs to study the Federalist Papers, and why I believe that Christianity is a fundamental part of how this nation had the courage to go ahead and have a revolution, and all the ministers who played a part in that. going to interview a young woman who started a business with military spouses, an interesting story. And of course, my own take on how we need to be teaching our children about the history of this country, not the crap that they're showing them and shoveling down their throats in schools, but the real truth. Take a quick time out. I'll be right back. So I wasn't sure if I wanted to continue raging as we head into this holiday weekend. And I know for many people, this will be one of those weekends where they gather together. There'll be all kinds of events, and they're all listed at our website, 850WFTL.com. You can find out where the fireworks are. I know that the 4th on Flagler is a big event, and for anybody living up in Palm Beach or the environs north of there, you may want to visit that. But there's something going on in every county, every city. And people spend time, but maybe an important part of that is to spend a little time thinking about what it took to start this country and what a revolution really looks like, because we may be on the verge of a different kind of revolution in this country and around the world. And I think it's important to understand just what a major accomplishment it was to put together this republic. It's absolutely stunning. And whether or not you listen to the show on Monday, or whether or not you make an effort this weekend to read through the Constitution and read the Federalist Papers and really apply yourself to an understanding of why this nation has achieved the greatness that it has in just over 200 years, it's truly amazing. I'm one of these people who just can't get enough of history, and I'm sure many of you feel the same way, so do that. But I had a nice piece that was sent to me about the seasons of life recently by, I think, my friend Sandy. And I wanted to kind of ease into this weekend by sharing it with you, because it triggered a lot of sensations in me and a lot of things that I would love to share with my audience, because I spend a lot of my time thinking about you and how we communicate with each other. And it's deep. It's gotten really deep after 32 years in the month of August. So actually, that is next month. I'll be completing my 32nd year on the air in this market, and that's amazing in and of itself. But it's an interesting stage in my life. Time moves very quickly, and you kind of get caught unaware, because you're in every day, so you don't really think about the movement as much. And I can remember, and I think about it all the time, how I was young, you know, and I started out in life. I can remember being still relatively young and coming on the air in this market. But some days it seems like it was it was almost a lifetime ago. And I'm left wondering where all these years went. Multiple friends and family have been talking about how time is getting moving more quickly, and I know exactly what they mean. It is. The days are getting shorter. But it's important to know how you lived all that time, and how you had hopes and you had dreams, and to look back and say, hey, how did those turn out? The last quarter of my life, and I don't want to be caught by surprise. How did I get here so fast? Where did the years go? And where did my youth go? I remember seeing older people through the years and thinking that those older people were years away from me, and that I was only on the first quarter of my life, and then I was on the second quarter of my life, and then I was in the third quarter of my life. And now that I'm in the fourth quarter, it's very, very strange to look back, because you have no promise that you'll see all the seasons of your life. You may not get into the third and fourth quarters. So you have to live today. You have to say all the things that you want to the people that you love, and things that you want them to remember. And then you just pray that they appreciate and love you for all the things that you did, because life is a gift to you. You ought to have a great day. Remember, it's health that is real wealth, and not the pieces of gold and silver. Going out is good. Traveling is good. But coming home is even better. And I know now I forget names, But it's okay because some people forget they even knew me. And I realize that I'm never really going to be any good at golf or tennis, but I still like going outdoors. And a lot of the things I used to care to do, I'm just not as interested in anymore, but I really don't care. I sleep better on a lounge chair with the TV on than in bed. I don't know, call it pre-sleep. My friends are retiring, getting gray. They move slower. I move slower. Some are in better and some in worse shape than me, but I see the change. We're not like we used to be. Every day I find that just getting into the shower is a real target for the day. And so as I enter into this new season of my life, unprepared as I was for all the aches and pains and the loss of strength and ability to go and do things that I wish I had done but never did, at least I know that though I'm on the last quarter and I'm not so sure how long it will last, that when it's over, a new adventure will begin. I have regrets. There are things I wish I hadn't done, things I should have done. But there are many things I'm happy to have done. It's all in a lifetime. So if you're not in the last quarter yet, let me remind you that it'll be here faster than you think. Whatever you would like to accomplish in your life, do it now. Don't put things off too long. Life goes by so quickly. So do what you can today, as you can never be sure whether you're in the last quarter or not. You miss the days when everything worked with just enough switch. Old is good. Old is comfortable. Old is safe. Old songs, old movies, and best of all, friends of old. So just stay well, old friends. Have a fantastic day. Have an awesome holiday weekend. Have a great 4th of July. And take care of yourself. And remember to tell your old friends how much you love them and how important they've been to you. I thank you for your time this time. Until next time, and my plan is to, well, you'll get to hear me on Monday with a special edition. And then, of course, back live discussing all the news that's fit to print and even the stuff that ain't on Monday, if it be his will and he delays his coming. Remember what lies behind us and what lies ahead of us. Those are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. So wherever you are, just be yourself. Everybody else is taken. And I thank you. I thank you for being a part of my life. And may God bless you. And may God bless the United States of America. My plan is to keep doing what I'm doing as long as I can. See you all on Tuesday.